at Annalene, his eyebrow slightly raised. He smiled gently. Does this mean... I don't know. Oren's been like this lately. How should I know what it means? Callie clapped her hands elated. I know what it means. It means I'm getting a new land speeder. Mom's old one, as soon as Glomer fixes it. Like blazes, Jabe yelled out from the light van. We haven't settled that. Annalene shrugged. We're still negotiating a distribution of assets. Maybe they'll both get it. Is that wise? Ben asked. Oh, yes, Annalene said. This way, when they finally decide to run away from home, they'll get farther. Now come along with us. No, really, that's not necessary. Ben pointed to a pair of figures by a tower on a distant northern ridge. I'll just ask the folks whose land this is for help. Annalene squinted. Don't bother, she said, recognizing them. This is while Ulbricht's spread we're on. After the Tuscans ripped him off yesterday, his sentries are probably chained to the Vaporators. Anything to save the skinflint from joining the settler's call, Jabe said from the van. He'll learn one day. Annalene pointed at Ben with mock sternness. And if you keep fighting Serendipity, Master Kenobi, it's going to fight back. Now come on, she said, walking back to the sledge. Let's get this unit into the truck. Surrendering, Ben patted Rue's head. Should we carry her with us? A screech came from the vehicle's interior. You're not putting that animal in my truck! Jabe yelled. You're... Annalene sighed. A minute ago you wanted my land speeder. The light van went silent. He's sulking, she said to Ben. But that's okay. I think our expectant mom will be happier at home. She turned Rue west and gave her a pat on the behind. Promptly, the animal began loping off, retracing the sandy trail left by the sledge. She'll find her way. Ben looked after Rue, concerned. You know, I really should go with her, to make sure she'll be all right. Callie laughed. I don't know what other trouble she could get into. Don't worry, Annalene said, wiping her hands together. She'll be home before the happy event, and you'll be living in a cool and comfortable house. Resigned, Ben turned to help them lift the coolant unit. I really do hate to prevail upon you to change your plans. You're not changing these plans, Callie gushed. We're going to Mos Eisley! Annalene smiled. Ben's reluctance was almost charming. The man, she suspected, simply didn't want to be in anyone's debt. She'd just have to convince him it wasn't a concern. The clan has spoken, she said. You'd better come along. Ben responded with a pained smile. The Shista Vanen had an evil-looking face, Oren thought. Nothing but fangs, pointy ears, and mud-colored hair. And yet, Tar Lup was as cheerful a being as he'd ever known. More cheerful still, standing behind the counter of Danar's claim in his neat city-bought jacket.
Thanks again for this chance, Master Galt, Tar said, the natural growl in his voice somehow sounding amiable. It's good to be in charge, even for a day. I don't get that in my regular job.
Standing atop a chair in the dining room, Oren lowered the holocam he was holding.
That's fine, Tar. Glad you could come back and help out.
Snapping the device off, he stepped down. He made sure he, too, was looking his best today, in the fineries Annalene had ordered from off-world. He needed to. Pausing in front of the substitute clerk, Oren looked down at the holo recorder in his hands. Oh, this is part of another surprise for Annalene, he said. Gonna get her some decent flooring in here for a change. Tar smiled toothily.
That's wonderful. I was always fond of the Calwells.
Me too, Orin said, stepping past Bomer at his table. The Rhodian had picked a day when Annalene was out to make his return, but she wasn't missing much. Patched up, but heavily medicated, Bomer seemed even more catatonic than usual. Orin walked through the gap in the counter. Tar, I need to get back in there for another second, if you don't mind.
Certainly.
The Shistavanen stepped out of the way. That'll do it, Orin thought, taking another look at the electronic manifest behind the cash box. He checked the chrono on the wall. He had everything he needed and plenty of time to get to his meetings. All was going according to plan. Both plans. Vika walked in from the parking area.
Ready when you are, Dad.
She walked to the bar and pulled her flask from her vest. Hopping onto the surface, she reached past the startled Tar to grab a bottle.
No, you don't, Orin said, before she could start filling.
Not today.
Whatever.
Irritated, Vika dropped the bottle, which landed back into place with a glassy clank. Orin passed her the holo recorder. Tar watched, puzzled, as father and daughter walked toward the exit.
Will you be back for lunch, sir?
No, I'll be out most of the day, he said, giving the store a last look. But, tell Annalene. I'll have something to talk to her about tonight.
Tar responded, but Orin didn't hear. He had things to do.
Chapter 29.
For the first half of Annalene's life, Mos Eisley had been no more than a concept. Her father had feared the place, and clerking gave her few opportunities to travel. But the city was always out there, a magnet drawing the starships she occasionally saw high overhead. It had inspired her young imagination. Images she had seen depicted Mos Eisley as a knotted web of crowded streets separating dusty domes used and decaying. She hadn't wanted to believe the pictures. Those vessels in the sky hailed from cosmopolitan places with shining spires. Why would they visit Tatooine at all if the city weren't something special? She'd looked forward to finding out for herself. When the day came, it was one that already ran high with expectations.